Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your favor. We thank you that you have caused your face to shine upon us. We thank you, Father, that you have loved us, that you have shown us mercy, that you have shown us mercy from the first moment that you came to us, Father, until the present time. You showed us mercy from the day we were born, Father. For we were sinners that was damned to hell. And yet it pleased you to come to us and to make us alive. Father, may we never lose sight of your grace. Father, may we never lose sight of the fact that it is your grace that justifies us, and it is also your grace that sanctifies us, and it is your grace that glorifies us. It is your grace, Father, that we are able to be gathered here under the banner of men of God. It is only because of you, Father, for we, the children of the devil, and you came to us and you made us alive. And you poured out your spirit in us. You poured out your love in us and gave us your spirit, Father. And Father, we pray that you would minister to your people, that you would cause growth in the lives of your people, and that, Father, we would be men of God as Paul commands us in the end of his letter to the Corinthians. And Father, we would pray that you would bless the going forth of this word. And we confess that in and of ourselves, Father, we can do nothing. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, you can cause growth. You can grant repentance. You can change lives, Father. It is not the preacher. It is not even the preached word. It's the preached word along with the power of the Holy Spirit, applying that word in the lives of the people. And Father, we would pray, we would beg, we would plead that that would take place in our lives, Father. For the precious name of Jesus Christ, for his sake, and for his glory. In order, Father, that ultimately you would be glorified. Yes. And Father, may we live our lives in light of that. That we will live moment by moment to glorify you, Father. For you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy to be loved and adored and obeyed. And Father, we pray for your people. We pray for the church. We pray for the church universal, Father, that you would wake up your church out of her apathy, out of her lethargicness, Father. We pray that you do a mighty work in the lives of your people, Father. And we ask you these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. In Christ alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 13 through 16. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Acacia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you also submit to such and to everyone who works and who labors with us. Pastor Steve brought out the foundation being the grace of God. Pastor Joe brought out the church and the need of the church. Paul I told the Corinthians about the grace of God. Paul had preached to the Corinthians, to a church that would even be worse than most churches. Disunity. Getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. A man going with his mother-in-law. Carnality. Worshipping Apollos. Worshipping Paul. Worshipping Peter. Putting man over man. Divorce. Remarriage. Sin after sin after sin after sin in the Corinthian church. A man's last words to people are important. Paul, he's going to be leaving the Corinthians. This is his last words to them. And he tells them that the household of the man of God is to be, as it says in the King James, the New King James, in verse 15, it says, devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. In the King James, I like it better, it says addicted. Addicted. Addicted to the ministry of the saints. Paul is going to leave. He tells this group of people, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, do it in love, be as the household of Stephanas. This household of people, they are addicted to the ministry of the saints. That is the way saints are to act. Stephanas means the crowned one. Here is Stephanas 2,000 years later. We're talking about him. He was crowned by Almighty God, saying, look at this household. Look at a man of faith. Look, his household, his environment, they are addicted to the ministry of the saints, devoted to the saints. They're given to the saints. They're applying their time to the saints. They're applying their attention to the saints. They're completely given over to this purpose, the ministry of the saints. And here, Stephanas is crowned. His household was known as a house that was set apart to the ministry of the saints. You say you love God. You say you understand the grace of God. Stephanas understood the love of God, understood the grace of God. Him and his family were addicted, devoted to the ministry of the saints. For the drug addicts that was here, that were drug addicts in a previous time, or alcoholics, or whatever your thing was that you were addicted to, you understand what addiction means. You give your life to the ministry of the saints. This is what Paul says to the people. You are to be addicted to the ministry of the saints. All of the ministry of the man of God and his family is not only to be, you're not only to be devoted, addicted to the ministry of the saints, but he says it is to be done in love. It is all to be done in love. Before he gets to talking about the addiction of the ministry, addiction to the ministry of the saints, he says in verse 13, watch, watch. If you watch, stand fast, mature in the faith, if you are brave, if you are strong, if it is done in love, you will act like a man of God. A man of God is to be watchful. He is to be standing fast in the faith. He is to be brave. He is to be strong. Or as the ESV has it, instead of be brave, it says act like men. Act like men. Today, you see the way man is portrayed in society as a doofus, as a dummy, as a fool. He's the jerk. His wife tells him what to do. His kids tell him what to do. He's effeminate. Paul saying, act like a man.
Amen.
Act like a man. He says, and you will be a man devoted to the ministry of the saints. Watch. God will have, and notice in the text what it says, look at verse 16, that if you watch steadfast, be brave, do it in love, the household of Stephanas, in verse 16, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with you. If this is your approach to Christianity, the Lord will bring the people to you that will submit to you. But it's only when you fulfill these requirements. Then the Lord lifts you up like Stephanas. Like those that would come and hear Pastor Steve now, that would sit under him. It's a result of being brave, being courageous, watching, standing fast. If you would have someone submit to what you are teaching, you must fulfill those requirements. You yourself must be brave. You must be strong. You must be watchful before you can stand and tell men that that is what they need to do. You must first meet the requirements. Let us look at verse 13. Dig in a little deeper. The man of God. Watch. Was anybody here in the military? Okay. Watch. What does the word watch mean? Watch means you take your gun, you go out there, and you stand there for 4 hours, and you watch, and you see if that enemy is coming. The man of God is to watch. In the Roman legion, if you was on watch and you went to sleep, you know what the punishment is? You dead. You dead. Christian, if you're not on watch, you're dead. We are to be watchful. And last night was a beautiful example. The Lord gave me a beautiful picture of watch. I was in the military. I stood watch. I understand watch. I stood watch days and days and days and days and days for years and years. But you kind of lose sight of that 35 years removed from that. So last night, I'm going over the text in my mind. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Act like men. I mean, Pastor Joe stopped talking, I don't know, 12:30, 1 o'clock. Good night, Joe. 1 o'clock. 2 o'clock. 3 o'clock. I'm like, Lord, what's the gag here? I got to preach tomorrow. 1 o'clock. 2 o'clock. 3 o'clock. And I'm laying there, and I'm just hearing, I'm just hearing every single little noise. And I'm like, I know, Lord, you have a purpose for me laying here, hour after hour after hour. I'm like, Lord, there's only so many things I can pray about. There's only so many times I can go over in my mind. Watch, be strong, be brave, stand in the faith, do it with love. Lord, I got it in there. I'm like, I know you're trying to teach me something. 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock. I'm like, Lord, you know I get up at 4 o'clock. I'm still up. 5 o'clock. I'm like, Lord, this is absolutely amazing. And it's like, at about 5 o'clock, it's, Bill, this is the first time I kept you up in 25 years. You see how every little tiny noise that you can hear now, Bill? You can hear Joe just breathing. You can hear yourself just breathing. You can hear your ear just going against the pillow. Every single little noise was magnified. But so that's what I'm trying to get across with the word watch. The man of God is to watch every little thing. We are to watch our heart with that same sensitivity. That one, I could hear. It was almost like I could hear the sun coming up. But that I could see.
Every little light that shined, whatever that was, your phone or something, charged it up, that was blinking. It was like everything from 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the morning. I didn't sleep for 1 minute last night. Was magnified. And it was like, Bill, you understand that word watch now? Just like you still watch against the enemy, because you stand watch against the enemy, for he will come to destroy you. Mm-hmm. People play with sin. They play with the enemy. Satan is out to destroy you. He is to kill you. Mm-hmm. We're to watch our hearts. And not only our hearts, single men, married men, mm-hmm. You are to watch the hearts of your wife. Mm-hmm. You are to watch the heart of your children. Mm-hmm. In the congregation, you are to watch the hearts of one another. Mm-hmm. What's breaking your heart, brother? I have to watch your heart, and I have to be as sensitive to you as my brother was bringing out in his message about the church. See? That kind of sensitivity, what's your pain? How can I bless you, brother? How can I help you? I am to watch. Just like last night, every single little tiny, I could hear that. It was like, wow. Mm. And that is the way we are to be. We're to watch each other's hearts. Mm. We're to watch our wives' hearts, our children's hearts. We're to watch our thoughts. We have to watch their thoughts, our children's thoughts. See, the thing, as I've told Steve and Joe, is how do I make this for everybody? For the single men, the married men, the childless people? It's for everyone, because we all have a family. If you're in the family of Christ, that's your family. If you're single and you have no one, if you have all your blood relatives are dead, mother, father, aunts, uncles, if they're all dead, you have a family. You're in the family of God. And all of these things apply to you and to me, who is a husband and a father. If you're single, this applies to you. You're to watch thoughts, your thoughts, the thoughts of your brothers and sisters. I see you down and out. It seems like you're troubled. How can I help you? I'm addicted to the ministry of the saints. How can I help you? See? Just like I ran for drugs. I was addicted to drugs. That was what consumed my life. Where's the next bag? We should be addicted to what's the next blessing that I can give you, brother. What do you need? That's what Paul is saying. Stephanus, him and his household, they were addicted. Addicted. They watched over hearts, thoughts, affections. What is your affection, brother? I'm watching that. I'm watching the words. I'm watching what you're saying. I'm hearing what you're saying very closely. But to watch one another's thoughts, affections, their words, their actions. As my brother pointed out, when your brother's in sin, you're watching those actions, you go to him about that sin because you love him. And you know that Satan is trying to destroy him and trying to destroy the family of God. You have to watch. Paul's theology at the end of it all to the Corinthians is saying, I know that your walk kind of stinks. You're struggling with all kinds of sins, but this is what you have to do. You have to watch, brothers. You have to watch the conversation. You have to watch the words that come out of your mouth. You have to give each other jewels. We have to bless each other with jewels. Instead of murder and hatred and anger and bitterness, the words that are coming out of your mouth are like daggers. As opposed to jewels, you have to watch. And those that act like men, they protect the family. Men are characterized as being protectors of the family. Protecting the family. Protecting the family of God. Protecting the church of God. Men are to stand tall and not move, as we're going to see in the next words. We're to stand tall, we're to watch against evil. But not only are we to watch against evil, we have to watch for opportunities. Like I talked to this young brother, new in the faith for a year. I said, he's new in the faith. There's an opportunity. Somebody needs to come and to bless him and to get next to him and get him under his wing and minister to him. Watching for opportunities. Listening very closely. Watching. What did he say? Oh,
What? You say the year? You know, oh, you just, oh, watching, hearing that little noise in the night.
As a man on guard would be standing there with his weapon, you'd be listening for the enemy to step on a branch. And all the enemy has to do is step on a branch, and if it's quiet, that branch will ring in your ears. You're to act like man, and you're to watch for opportunities. Paul is saying to the Corinthians, watch. Watch how to love one another. Watch how to do good to one another. Watch against unbelief. Watch against false doctrine. Watch against false teachers. You're to keep awake. You're to keep vigilant. You're not to sleep. This is the time to watch. Sleeping is when it's all said and done. Then we'll go to sleep. But now, we're to be as a soldier, standing on guard, watching false doctrine, false teachers. You're to have the courage to speak against it. You're to be men. You're to act like men, to be courageous. Turn to Matthew 24. The Lord used this word many, many times. Many times, brothers. Matthew 24. 42 to 44. Watch! Watch, therefore! For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming, except for Howard Camp, and he knows. So obviously he's not watching. You do not know, but Family Radio does. That's an old chap there, Howard. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Verse 42, watch. Verse 43, watch. How many of you are not watching? How many of you are sound asleep? Look at 25:13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. How many of us are watching CDs, watching bank accounts, watching jobs, watching this, watching that, watching the other thing, with no regard for watching the soul, watching your own soul, watching the soul of your wife, watching the soul of your children? How many of you are not watching, but yet would call yourself a man of God? Paul says if you would be a man of God, if you would be one that's addicted to the ministry, you have to watch. Not only watch, but stand fast and be brave and be courageous. Turn to Mark 13. Watch. I knew the Lord had something last night. Watch. Watch. Mark 13. 32. To 37. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray. For you do not know when the time is. Not only watch, but watch and pray. Verse 34. It's like a man going down to a far country. He left his house, gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. How many today are sleeping? How many are sleeping? How many are not being the men of God that you have been called to be? Watch. Watch for those who lie down and wait to deceive. Watch for those that lay in wait to divide. Watch for those that are in waiting to disrupt. A soldier. I was out on an airfield. Believe me, you watching out on an airfield, you get hit with a jet That'll wake you up real quick. I walked around hour after hour after hour after hour after hour after hour after hour, day after day, after month, after year after year after year after year. Just watch. And how much more in spiritual things? How much more in spiritual things? That's what the Lord reminded me when I was up all night. One of the watches used to be from 12 to 4 and 4 to 8. It was like, you got double duty tonight. You're doing the 12 to 8 shift. Bumping them. Watch. Watch for Satan. Be a good watchman. Keep a good lookout. And be ready. And as I pointed out to Brother Steve, I had in my notes to read Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 18. But Brother Steve did that already, so you can refresh your memory reading the armor of the soldier. Brothers and sisters, we're called brothers and sisters. Brothers, men of God. We are called to be soldiers. We are sheep. That's one of the illustrations the Lord uses. But we are called to be soldiers. Too many people today have this image of the sheep in their mind, and that's all. You cannot just take the one metaphor and use that and that alone. Amen. We're called to be soldiers. We're to act like men. Not like brutes. We're to act like men. We're to watch for the snares and the traps of the enemies of our souls and our family souls. Are you watching for your family, for your wife? Are you watching her thoughts, her affections, her heart? Are you doing that with your children? Watching, seeing that thing that's breaking your daughter's heart, breaking your son's heart, breaking your wife's heart. Are you teaching them the scriptures? Are you praying with them? Are you showing them the way? Are you bringing them to church? Are you showing them how to come to church on time? How to pray at church? How to sing songs at church? How to worship at church? Are you watching? And not only does the Lord speak about it in the Gospels, about watching, he speaks about it in Revelation. Revelation 3, verse 2. Well, let's start at verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. Would he not say this to the church in America today? I know your works, that you have a name. You have a name. I'm a Christian. That you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. There's men of God crying out, screaming to the church of God. You die. The Lord is not pleased. He's not pleased with the church in America. They're not being watchful. They're turned in. The only thing they're watching is their own wicked desires, how to turn in upon themselves. Revelation 16 tells us. 15. Behold, there is absolutely no sense of this. Well, how does that fit into my eschatology? Revelation 16:15. Fit it in there however you want to fit it in there. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Blessed. Is he who watches? Could it be that you're not blessed because you're not watching? Could that be the reason why that you're not blessed? Why you're not blessing those around you? Why you're not blessing your wife, not blessing your children, not blessing the church? And why the Lord's not bringing anyone under you to submit to you? As we'll get to with Stephanus. Not only are you to watch, but it says, stand fast in the faith. Not only are you to watch, you to stand fast in the faith. for those of us that have done construction. We would know what concrete is like. When it says stand fast in the faith, it's like, and I specifically worked with concrete. You stand in the concrete and wait for it to dry. That's what Paul's saying. That's the way you are to stand fast in the faith. The faith that was once and all delivered. You are to stand fast in the doctrines of sovereign grace. You are to stand fast in the attributes of God. You are to stand fast in regeneration and righteousness and faith and salvation and resurrection and election and predestination and glorification and justification and sanctification. You are to stand fast in the faith and don't move. Come hell, come high water, come if everybody hates you. You are to stand fast like you got concrete shoes on. And you're just, and the wind's just whipping you around. And while you're standing there, you're to be watchful. And you're to stand fast in the faith. Faith is the foundation. As my brother brought out in the first message, grace, through faith, salvation is the foundation. The just shall live by faith. That is what you are to stand fast in. Not, I'm going to stand fast in this new fad that just came out. This new Christianity. This new thing that just came down the block. This new meism. This new youism. This new humanism.
Yeah.
You just stand fast in the faith. The faith that says the just shall live by faith. How am I to live the Christian life? The just shall live by faith. You were saved by faith. You are sanctified by faith. You are glorified by faith. You are to stand fast in the faith. Not be blown to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Standing fast. What does it say about faith? Turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is why you're to stand fast in the faith. 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. You hear the victorious life all the time? This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That is the one that overcomes. That is the one that has the victory. The just shall live by faith. You are not only to know that yourself. You are to teach your wife that. You are to teach your children that. You are to teach others in the church that. You are to teach everyone that you come in contact with. The just shall live by faith. By faith. Standing. Not moving. Not tossed to and fro. Standing fast. Turn to Galatians 5. This is for all you that would throw bricks on your brother's backs. And would want to add circumcision. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty, with the steadfast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You have to stand fast in the liberty. When your brother tries to add bricks to your other brother, you just say, well, wait a second, brother. That's being a little legalistic, isn't it? That kind of sounds like circumcision to me. You stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. If you are watching, if you are standing, you will be seeing this going on in the church. And you will be able to minister to your brothers and sisters because you'll be addicted to the ministry. That will be your thing. Stand fast in holding and defending the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you hear every other charlatan coming down the road, stand fast. Be a man of God. Every new fad coming down the street, you're to look for the old paths, the old ways. Stand fast in the faith. Holding, defending, firm and maintaining what you believe to be true. People that are watching, that are standing fast, they believe the truth. And they speak the truth in love. And they're not fearful of no man. When the Lord says about those that are outside of the kingdom in the book of Revelation in the last chapter, the first word he mentions, those that are outside are cowards. You have to be a man of God. You have to act like a man. You have to be a courageous man. You have to be a brave man. Not this effeminate little wimpy. It's not what the Bible teaches. Be a man of God. As I said, once again, that doesn't mean a proof. A man of God. You are to watch, stand fast in the faith, in your home, and then those to the, around you, those around you. And if this is not true of you at home, why would you think that God would use you outside of the little church that he has given you? For those of you who are married and that would have children, the Puritans used to call your home the little church. The little church that God Almighty has given you. If you can't handle one wife and one kid, what in the world makes you think you're going to be able to handle 50 people, 100 people, 200 people, 500, whatever the number is? If you can't handle your wife and your child, what makes you think that the Lord will bring people under you to submit to you? Because that's where we're going in the text which defines. He stood fast. He watched. He was courageous. He was brave. What does it mean to be a man of courage? Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2. To be a man of courage, what does that look like? 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 12. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believed. That is what is supposed to be said of you as a man of God. You are witnesses. Those around you should be able to say how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know, how what? We exhorted and comforted. It's both. It's not one without the other.
That's right.
Exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you. And notice what it says. As a father does his own children. As a father does his own children. That you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Those are to be the attributes of a courageous man. In his home and then outside of the home, in the church. And as a result, as we're going to see with Stephanus, the Lord will bring people to you. You are to be brave and courageous, as my brother said about, what was that word you used? A onester?
Onester.
A onester?
Onester.
Like a wankster, but a onester?
Onester.
A onester? A once a weeker. All right. But the only problem with a once a weeker is Romans 12, 3 through 8 tells us something a little different. And where else can you do this except in the context of the church? For all of you that think the Lord's done with the church, or you've got your own private church going on with you and the internet, it's you and Windows 7, or you know. That's my ministry there. That's the ministry, that's the church. He's talking to me, I'm talking to him. And when he says something I don't like, guess what? I can hit the off button. That works good for those that aren't in the church.
Yeah.
When the preacher is screaming at you, oh, God, where am I going to go? At home, if he yells at you, you're done, though. Verse 3 to 8. In the context of the church, those that are watchful, that are being brave, that are being courageous, for I say to you, through the grace, notice, as our brother mentioned in the first message, the foundation, grace, for I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. There's no superstars in Christianity, even though the church may tell you differently. For as we have many members in one body, Once again, no computer church, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. It only can take place in the context of the church, having then gifts different according to, once again, the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Basically, he has given everyone a ministry. Your ministry may be cleaning the bathroom. That is no more, lesser than, or more than the man preaching to 50 million people. God gives every one of us a ministry. And we are to be courageous. We are to act like men in fulfilling that. When you're in the military, they say, Pops, here's this gun. You go over here, and that's it. There's no, well, Captain, I really don't like that idea of yours. Or, I'm going down to the next base. I'm going down to the next squadron. Yeah, Captain, I really don't like that. And that's the attitude in the church today. I don't like to be told about my sin. I don't like to be told I have to make a 100% commitment. I don't want to hear that. So I'm going down to the next church. And I'm going to justify my wickedness in leaving by pointing out the sins of most often the preacher. His supposed sins. He's too loud, he's too short, he's too ugly, he's too fat, he's this nationality. I didn't like the way he said this. He was wrong in his eschatology, his missiology, or some ology. And he pointed out my sins, so therefore I'm going down to that squadron, down the block. But brothers and sisters, we've been called to... Well, why do I keep saying brothers and sisters? I'm thinking of my church here. Sisters, there's no sisters here. It's just brothers. For you that are listening, the sisters that were listening to this, there was no sisters here. It's all brothers. Deuteronomy 31. And we love you, sisters. Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 to 8. Now ask yourself, is this you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Don't be scared, don't be fearful. I can't, I won't, it's always been this way. I've always been trapped in this sin. Be strong, be of good courage, do not fear. God goes with you. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. It's not when you commit your first sin, that's it, he's done with you, he's forsaken you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. God told us the gates of hell will not prevail. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Look how many times he has to tell the soldiers, do not be fearful. Do not be afraid. God is with you. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be men of courage. And the bottom line to it is, what is to be the motivation of it all? Would you think that maybe as a result of knowing of this grace of God, as our brother spoke about in the first message, that as a result of knowing about that grace of God and how God has loved you, he tells us back to 1 Corinthians 16, the motivation. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And the motivation is verse 14. Let all that you do be done what? With love. With love. The motivation for watching, for standing fast in the faith, being brave and being strong,
Let all that you do be done with love. Love. You're to love your wife, you're to love your children, you're to love your brothers and sisters in the faith, in the church. You are to watch for your brothers, for your sisters, for your wife, for your children. You are to watch, you are to stand in the faith, you are to be acting like a man, you are to be courageous, you are to be brave, and it's all to be done in love. Love, because God has first loved us. All to be done in love. And the question is this your motivation? Do you serve? Are you addicted to the ministry out of love? Or are you addicted to the ministry for getting ahead, for making a name for yourself? Well, God forbid that some would do it for a job. I had nothing else to do, so I became a minister. Is the motivation your own glory? Or is it maybe even self-salvation? The motivation for all of this is love. God loves you. He had mercy upon you. He shed His grace upon you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And as a result, you love. You love now. Love to God, love to family, love to one another in that order. Notice what I said. Many Christians mess up that order. I was blessed to hear my brother last night say the order. God, family, ministry. Not God, ministry, family. Whole lot of wreckage following that formula.
Yeah, yeah.
Whole lot of wreckage. God first, love to God Almighty. Love, that love manifested towards God first and foremost. As my brother said, up in the morning with the Lord in the Word, in prayer, before he ever sees his wife in his church. He loves the Lord as God. He gets to know the Lord as God. Then as a result of getting to know God, knowing what God says, the Holy Spirit illuminating the Word to him, then he goes to his wife. And then he goes to his children. Then after he goes to his wife and to his children, then he goes to the ministry. And all the time he's watching, standing in the faith, being brave, being courageous. Love is to reign, brother. With our approach to God, with our approach to our wife, with our approach to our children, and then with our approach to those around us. Love God is the proving ground. Love to family is the proving ground. Love to one another is the proving ground. Love is to reign. Notice verse 15, back to 1 Corinthians 16. I urge you, brethren, you know, as my brother mentioned earlier in the message, about getting to know your brothers, going to one another's houses, going for coffee, getting to know one another. Paul says to those that he is writing to, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas. It was known. His household was known. His brothers and sisters knew about him, knew about his wife, and knew about his children. You know the household of Stephanas. Well known. Well known. You know the household. You are aware of that household. You consider that household. You perceive that household. You are sure of this household. And you understand the household of Stephanas. Somebody that is watching. A man of God that is watching. A man of God that is standing in the faith. A man of God that is being courageous. A man of God that is being brave. He knows the household of, and puts your name right in that. The man of God is to know that household of his brother, of his sister. Because that's the proving ground. The house, the dwelling place of that person. As it says
In verse 19, with Aquila and Priscilla, the house, the church was in their house. That's where the church was in the house. Everybody knew it. See, that's another thing with this separation of Christianity. I'm going to have church at home. Well, then we don't have to see your wife. We don't have to see your children. We don't have to see what you did with the little church at home. We don't have to see what you did with the little house on the prairie. But Paul says, you know the household of Stephanas. You know what it's like. And what does it say? I urge you, brethren, that you know the household of Stephanas, the crowned one, that it is the first fruits. The first fruits. The fruit is there for everybody to see. If the fruit is bad there, the fruit will be bad all around. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. You know that household. It's the first fruits. Fruit for home. Devoted to what? The ministry of the saints. You see? Watching. Standing in the faith. Acting like men. Being courageous. Being brave. Doing it out of love. And what's it say? You know. Your brothers and sisters will know your household. They will look, as the old preacher said. You want to know about that man? Bring his wife and bring his kids. We'll find out all about you. And Paul is saying, you know that household. You know they're addicted to the ministry of the saints. It's habitual. It's not hit and miss. What are we going to get from that family today? You see them week after week after month after year. And if that be true, and if you be faithful in that, then look at verse 16, where Paul commands the people to do. If you see the man of God, if you see a man of God, that is watching, standing in the faith, being brave, being strong, doing it in love, and his household is addicted to the ministry of the saints, look at the command of Paul in verse 16. That you also submit to such. You submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with them. That you also submit to such. You submit to such men as this. The men that are strong, that are brave, that are watching, that are standing in the faith, doing it in love. You see their households, you see their wife, you see their children. They're crowned by Almighty God. Paul says to the Corinthians, you submit now to such as that. And the opposite of that is, if that's not true, then you need to flee from ones that is not true of. You are to flee. And I will just remind you now, since there's all men here, that word submit, that's the same word submit that I know a lot of men like to use with their wives. You know the scripture says, you gotta submit to me. Well, for you men that would like that text about submitting, your wife submitting, know that Paul's telling you, when you see that man of God, that household, he's telling you to submit in that same kind of way. The home is the proving ground. And the question is your household addicted to the ministry of the saints? Is your household addicted to the ministry of the saints? That is how Paul ends his time with the Corinthians. To watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be courageous, do it out of love, and your household is to be addicted to the saints. As my brother was saying, you can barely get one person to do one thing. Never mind a whole household that is addicted. That's their thing. That's their shot at dunk. They. As every drug addict knows, when I got up, the first thing I wanted to do was to get high.
And the question is today, the first thing when you get up, do you say, man, I want to go bless the saints.
I want to go bless the saints. That's a household. Now that's a proving ground. The Lord is the proving ground. The church is the proving ground. The family is the proving ground. And the question today is, can this be said of you? And if it's not said of you, why not? And if it will be said of you, will you begin to pursue this? Will you begin to act like a man? And I'm going to just call it what it is. One of the most wicked things that I hear today is excuses. I hate to tell you, brothers, there's no sisters here, brothers, that faithfulness is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You have to be faithful. And that is a horrendous sin in the church today, is faithlessness. I say this, but it doesn't mean that. No sooner do you say it, than out of the side of your mouth, you're calling on the phone or backing out some way, shape, or form. That's not somebody watching. That's not somebody, certainly not standing in concrete that's hardened around them that can't move. It's not acting like a man. Little kids make excuses. A man of God is to be as a soldier. When that captain said, Posh, you go do that. You know, a few times I didn't do what he told me. And guess what? I was in the brig. And it's the same with the Lord. For as the old preacher used to say that I sat under one time, he'll take you to the divine woodshed. He was from the south. Those guys in the northeast, we don't know nothing about divine woodsheds. I know about the brig. So I would beg you, brother, if you would be addicted to the ministry. You must watch, be brave, be courageous, and stand in the faith. I mean, today everybody is just going to and fro with every wind of doctrine. By Monday morning, there'll be another book out, and there'll be a whole other revival going on, a whole other 50,000 people chasing the next fad. That's not a fad. It's very simple. Watch, stand in the faith. Act like man, be brave, be strong, do it in love. Do it towards the Lord, do it towards your wife, do it towards your children, and then the Lord will bring brothers around you. Just like, once again, I'm going to use this brother right here. He will bring him around someone, just like he said, oh, I just walked around the corner to Steve's house, to the household of Steve. As a matter of fact, that's the father's, isn't it?
It is.
There you go.
My name is Steven.
There you go. So he just walked him out to that household. Because you're watching, you're standing in the faith, you're being brave, you're being courageous, you're doing it out of love, you're showing that to your wife, and showing it to your children. And as a result, Paul would say the same thing. Bring encore around to the household of Stephanus, because he's addicted to the ministry. And may we, brothers, be as Stephanus was. Addicted to the ministry. Love for the brothers, love for the sisters, love. Love. Christianity. As my other brother put it. What did Augustine say? Love. And do what you will. Was that his quote? Am I quoting correctly? Love. Love. And do what you will. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've made it very simple. You've made it very simple, Father. But the problem is that we still carry around this body of death. And it continually wants its own way. It continually
continually fights for mastery. But you have promised us, Father, that sin would no longer reign in our lives. And all sin actually is self. And not being addicted to the ministry, not standing fast, not watching. It's really all just selfish, Father. And forgive us, Father, for our selfishness. Forgive us for not pouring out our life. Forgive us. You've told us that we're not greater than the Master, but Father, somehow we think that we are. Christ washed feet, and yet we want to be the ones to have our feet washed. Father, may you give us a servant's heart. May you give us humility. Father, forgive us for exalting ourselves over the needs and the wants and the heartaches and pains of those around us, Father. May we be as the man on the road to Jericho, Father. May we bind up the brokenhearted. May we clothe the naked. May we minister to the poor. May we feed the hungry. May we visit the prisoners and those in hospitals, Father. May we be as the fathers, Father, addicted to others. For that's what the ministry is. Just ministering to other people. Loving others. Putting others ahead of our own desires. And Father, turn our hearts. Turn our hearts, Father. For theology without action, Father, is just idolatry. Theology without service, Father, is wicked. Father, we've learned about you. Now may we put in practice the things that we've learned about you. Paul made it very simple, Father. And we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you don't have to be a rocket scientist nor a brain surgeon to understand the gospel. You simply have to be somebody that obeys what the Holy Spirit reveals to you. Father, may we submit to the Holy Spirit. May we be sensitive to his leadings. When he says, go left, Father, may it not be as Jonah, that we would go right. Forgive us for being as Jonah, sitting under the tree and complaining and moaning and groaning. Father, may we live lives of gratitude for your grace. We thank you for being gracious to us, Father, for pouring your grace out upon us. For apart from your grace, Father, we were damned. Father, apart from your grace, we cannot move one inch in the Christian life, Father. Without your grace, we would not finish the race. Without your grace, we wouldn't have started it, wouldn't have finished it, we wouldn't have went anywhere, Father. And we know, Father, that it's all of grace. And Father, we know that primarily that's grace that you've given us. It's carried out primarily in the home, and then outside of the home in the church, and outside of the church to those around us in our neighborhood, on our jobs. Father, may we be a loving people with a servant's heart. And Father, may we never forget, but for the grace of God, so goeth I. Father, may we never lose sight of your grace, Father. For your grace is amazing, Father. Your grace towards us is great, Father. For we are great sinners, Father. But you are a great God. And Father, may we come to know you in a greater way day by day. May we love in a greater way day by day. And Father, as a result of that, may we serve in a greater way day by day. And then may it be said of us, now those men, they were addicted to the ministry of the saints. And Father, we thank you that we could even be called saints, sinners, but yet called saints. The great exchange has taken place. Our sin has gone to Christ, and Christ's righteousness has gone to us. Brothers, how should we live our lives in light of that great truth? And Father, we'd ask your blessing upon the men that have gathered here this weekend, that your will would be done in each man's life. And we thank you that we've had the privilege and the honor of being able to come together and to open your word up and to fellowship one with another. And Father, we pray that you would strengthen these two churches, dear Heavenly Father, that have come here gathered together. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that it's not us and them, but that we can come here together as one. And I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that you gave Joe and Steve a love for each other's church, to put the thought there in their minds to bring this together. And Father, we thank you for bringing this together, and we would pray that there would be greater unity throughout the body of Christ. Amen. And we thank you, Father, and we praise you, and we love you, and we worship you, and we thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.